concerning all of you because your faith is proclaimed through the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son, how I ceaselessly make mention of you. We'll stop at that. We'll continue later on next week, because I really want to give time to the whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son. I want to stretch this as far as it will go. But first of all, I thank God. That is a common expression in our Jewish heritage. If you are familiar with the Jewish prayers in the synagogue, on any occasion, always thanks and giving is the beginning of the service. And then everything else will come afterwards. So when I used to worship with my Anglican brothers and sisters in Nottingham, I used to say to them, you know, my real anger with your worship, I'll do it, I thank you for it, is that you start with confession of sins. You know, and the old words of the common prayer. You know the Book of Common Prayer? You should have it here in America. If you don't, ask Bob Walters. He's our archbishop, you know. Represent Episcopalian tradition. He can tell you something about it. It's always saying, you know, we miserable offenders, sinners, you know. So when I was appointed a chaplain at St. John's College in Nottingham, I took the liberty to change the prayers of the Book of Common Prayer, which is an offense, can be punished by the English law. And I did that once in the presence of one of the English bishops, and I remember the man was horrified. And he said to the dean, "Who is this guy?" And he said, "This is George R. Chaplin." And he said, "Please fire him." And at supper time, he came and sat next to me and said, "Why did you change?" "Because I started with thanksgiving, but I am a sinner." For many of the English people who are not acquainted with that kind of language, say, "Lord, thank you that I am a sinner," is almost like uttering a blasphemy. But the next sentence is, thank you, Lord, as a sinner, you have redeemed me in Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank you that I know my condition, but my eyes are not on what I am, but my eyes on what you are and what you can do for me and in me. Because, you see, my dear friends, thanksgiving is a line that runs through the letters of Paul. And in fact, if you are familiar with the prayers of the early church from the New Testament period up, you will see that in every collection of prayers we inherited from the ancient church, the first element in these prayers is thanksgiving. And let me say two things absolutely vital about thanksgiving. When we thank God, even at a time of tribulation, we are encouraged. We don't lose our courage. But when we dwell on our tribulation without seeing God in that tribulation, we are without courage. You see, come here, please. You see, you said you're wearing this red shirt. Come and sit here. I want to see your beautiful eyes. Am I allowed? They are not yours, you know? My goodness, this is what God gave to you. This is what God gave to you? Beautiful eyes?
Yes.
You mean you guess?
I mean, I guess that they're beautiful. God gave me the eyes.
Then who created you then? Leave you alone. I'm sorry if I embarrassed you. Because, you know, we always feel, you know, I thank God I am ugly. Me, I am ugly. Certainly, because, you know, my ugliness can attract attention of the beautiful people. Who may say, you know, I wish I can give him some of my hair, you know?
Give him some of my hair.
You know? Well, you know, I said to my wife, you know, why did you marry me in the first place? And then she said to me, I don't know. There is something about you. I said, fine. I hope one day you'll discover it and tell me before I die, you know. So I thank God in tribulation because that gives me courage to know that God is with me. I thank God for every good thing. And if you ever come to our house for breakfast, we thank God for the food, for the friends, and believe me, for the USA. And I really beg you to thank God for your country and to pray that all the good things that you have will continue to flow, not only for you, but for the next generation of young Americans who needs a lot of guidance and need to discover the American heritage, you know. Please. Now then, thank God. First, the good word, you know, before anything else, it's used in Romans. You know, and Paul puts the Jews first, and then the Gentiles. It's on page 1, I put all the text for you. Sorry for my cryptic translation. If this doesn't sound as a good English, you can go and read the horrible NIV. It's more horrible than mine, I think. I thank God because of you, believers. And he doesn't refer anywhere, except on very rare occasions, to horrible things that has been committed by the community. And I always feel, you know, I thank God that I get to know this man or this woman. Even if they bring trouble. So, you know, our custom in the Middle East is to bargain in shops. So I go to bargain here in all the shops in Carmel and in the Clay Terrace. Oh, I really do. And wherever I go, I say, oh, here comes trouble. Why? Can't you put the price down, you know? I am a poor man from the Middle East. And can you put the price down, you know? And if some people say, all right, we can knock a dollar or two. I said, well, that's not enough to get me a cup of coffee. Would you put it down a little bit? And so forth. You know, thanks God. And then, you know, I remember teasing a manager of one of the shops at the Clay Terrace. And he kept saying to me, what is your religion? I said, I'm a human. And he said, humanity is not a religion. He said, no, you are wrong. Humanity is the religion of God incarnate, Jesus Christ. And he said, so you are a Christian. So I said, I hope. I pray to be a Christian. And then he knocked off $5. I don't know whether you can try that or not. I assume you are very orderly and you like to follow what has been advertised, you know.
He's a true Gentile.
Yeah, well, yes, so, you know. And then he said to me, he's a very, very nice man. I said to him, you know, do you thank God for the customers that come to your shop? And he looked surprised and said, thank God? I said, yes. They come spend money here in your shop, and that gives you bread on your table. I'm not going to mention muffins and pork and other things that you eat. And, you know, thank God for the customers. Thank God for the roads. Thank God for the trees. Oh, well, you know, when we had a hot days, is it 2 weeks? When it was a little bit about 100? You can tell, you know, that I'm a madman. I cycled in the temperature of 90 plus. Took two bottles on the bike, one on my pocket. I cycled in the heat to thank God for the terrible country called Egypt. Because without Egypt, I will not be here. And you know, we had in the counseling sessions in our church in Egypt, a lot of, you know, marriage is not an easy journey, I'm telling you. Never ever marriage was just a jar of honey. Sometimes it has all its painful sides here and there. And so we always say to people, thank God for the hard times and the good times in your marriage. And you know, I learned from my own life that when I thank God for hard things, I can appreciate the good things. And please remember, you know, the days of your youth, where you can run wild and do all the things that you like to do, and you cannot do them anymore. Thank God that you were given that opportunity, that you had a good health. Now in the old age, you know, like my old age, I cannot do that anymore. A lot of things. When I see people jogging on the morning, I look back and say, I was a good runner, actually a very fast runner. I can't run anymore. But it's a real joy to see young people enjoying running. And thank you, Lord, that you gave me life to see them. A constant thanks is an antidote against depression. I'm telling you. Because, you know, I told you before, and I repeat that, when it is about Christmas time, you know what I'm going to say. The cloud of depression descends on me. I hear all these bad things on the radio. I see this plastic man called Father Christmas and Santa Claus. And, you know, I keep saying, this is not about the incarnation, is it? And I get very depressed. I don't know, did you have a manger and these plastic things at East 91st last year?
Yes, there's usually a crash going around.
So I threatened Derek to blow them up by dynamite. But I think he never took it so seriously. You know, the incarnation is a message that actually hits me very hard because, you know, thank God for Jesus Christ that he made every human being a brother and a sister. Thank God for that link. Even if it's very hard to appreciate, even if it is too hard even to look at someone and see in that person something good. But thank God that God created this person. Now, on page 2, where is Farida?
She'd be here. I haven't talked to her today. I saw her Monday, but I haven't seen her.
Okay, Monty.
Yes.
I haven't seen you for 6 weeks now.
George, I'm telling you, driving down here tonight, it hit me, and I'm going to start having a phone conference with you on Wednesday night. I'm sick of the traffic. I'm sick of Fishers. Everybody's got too much money around here. Nobody stays at home.
You know, Monty, we just say, thank God for the heavy traffic. You know why? If you thank God for the heavy traffic, you will not feel that it is as bad as you think.
You don't mind, we just wanted you to read some stuff.
And here it is, you know. Monty, my dear brother, I love you. I want to read Dialogues Philemon, page 2. You and your wife. Is your wife sitting there in front of you? You look very pretty. What have you done to your hair? Oh, she's very pretty. My goodness. Aren't you lucky that you have some hair? I thank God I have no hair. You know? And I don't need to go to the barber. Okay, Monty and your wife. Read the dialogue. You are George and your wife, so meek, she can become Philemon. Okay.
Why should we give thanks for all things?
There are many good things in giving thanks, such as, number one, when giving thanks, giving comes, first it breaks the power of pain. When you remember what is good before what is painful, that makes the pain bearable.
True. Absolutely true. Try it.
Number two, thank God for His grace, even if you are about to die, because this keeps you able to see the glorious side of the new life which Jesus gave to you, and nothing can take this life from you. Three, if you have the courage of the crucified Jesus, thank Him for the pain. The Apostle Paul says, it has been granted to that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake.
That's notice from me that the Greek word granted is absolutely explosive. It is granted, it means granted graciously or to give graciously. So it is part of the graciousness of God to suffer for Him. Terrible, isn't it? But it is true. Okay.
Would you include illness and other physical disabilities?
Those who have been ill or still ill learn too many good things which normal life does not allow them to learn or even see. As for physical disabilities, the Apostle Paul says that creation has been groaning in travail together with us until now, and not only creation, but we ourselves, who have been the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies.
Thank you. You know, this is, again, you know, we cannot say to someone who has been born physically disabled, cannot say many things, except this is a sign that has two sides. One side, it is our own humility, that we thank God that we have a perfect body. I have not lost a hand or a leg or an eye or whatever. But the other side is that this person is also going to be perfect, but not here in this journey of our mortal life, but in the next life. And that is where we must consider carefully how to be extremely sensitive. You know, whenever I see someone who is disabled, someone who cannot walk, on a wheelchair or helped by people. I used to work as a chaplain in the General Hospital in Nottingham. And one of the things they gave to me is the cancer ward. People, you know, in Britain, it's not like your beautiful hospitals. People are jammed in a ward, you know. And what separates between two patients is just a curtain. Something I haven't seen in America yet. I think they may exist. But, you know, when I go to St. Vincent for ever, whatever cause, you know, and I have a room for myself, I say, my goodness, almost like 5 stars hotel. And, you know, I used to go and sit with these people who are known to the medical staff that they are about to die. And it's a great blessing that while I am still alive, I look at them and I pray, give them communion very often. And I say to them, you know, how are you? And they look at me and say, well, we have a few days left. And I said once to an old lady, she's about 85 years old, and the cancer just went through the whole of her body. Everything was infected by cancer. Bones, liver, lungs, everything. And in fact, the nurse said to me, well, if she stays another day or two, that would be a miracle. So I sat at the edge of the bed. I hold her hands. And I said, Margaret, I want you to give me the blessing of the crucified Christ, the dying Jesus. Can you put your hands on me and give me that blessing of the crucified Christ? And then she said to me, pull me up a little bit. I was really afraid to pull her up, just in case something comes off in my hand. Truly. Because while we're giving communion, she broke off that bone, you know, and the collarbone, you know, and said, no, you stay, just put your hands on my hand or my chest. I came very close, and then she said, why do you want the blessing of the crucified Christ who is crucified in me? And said, so when I come to this hour, I have your peace. I have your courage to go peacefully. Next morning, she has gone peacefully. You know, it is something that we need not to run away from. Because there will be a moment where we have that encounter with the old enemy we call death. Now then, my God, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. My God is an excellent expression not only in Paul but also in the Psalms. My God. I don't know if you have that sense in American Christianity that my God is also a sense of ownership. I own your life, God, as you own my life. It's mutual ownership. It's not just my God, you are the master and I am the slave, I am your creature and therefore I am under your thumb. That will not be Christianity. That will not be even Judaism either. I own you. I own your life. And the guarantee of that ownership is in Jesus Christ our Lord. My God through Jesus Christ came to me to tell me my life is yours. And I have to say, thank you, my life also is yours. It's a mutual ownership. So when we pray to God, we are not praying to someone who is distant and far away. He is the master, he is the creator, he is the almighty, he is the holy God. Truly, all these great things in the Bible should remind you that what we own is great and precious, not distant and far away. My God. Even Jesus on the cross, and the psalmist in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, this is almost a cry of saying, you know, we own each other's life. Why are you doing this? And you know, I cannot transmit to you that great boldness in the book of Psalms. When a Jew stands in the presence of God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and question him, why are you doing this to me? I don't see that in the life of the Christians. Not even in England. And when people come to our house and they pray with us, and my wife always stares at me. And then, you know, I cover my face because I smile. I smile because I don't like feeble prayers. If you are upset with God, tell him that you are upset. If you are joyful, tell him you are joyful. You own him. Not because you own him, but because he made that ownership accessible to you. In Jesus Christ, I own God. Through Christ. And you know, through Christ is a great confession of the preciousness of the gospel. I give thanks to God through Jesus Christ because of salvation. And I think, you know, through Christ is the mediator. I'm on page 2, on page number 2, point number 2. Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. Didn't he? So it is through Christ that I can speak about God. And here, you know, the one God in the Old Testament, which we call monotheism, receives its deeper meaning in Jesus Christ. that Father, Son, Holy Spirit are one. It is a communion of the three persons that established the concept of the oneness of God. And you know, my dear friend, I used to shock my English students and my English audience all the time by saying, I don't know anything about God. There's no place for God in my life. I know God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is this what makes the doctrine of God in Christianity very unique and special. We have talked about the Trinity when I came here as a newcomer to East 9th Forest almost 3 years ago now.
Yeah, 3 years. Fall of 04.
Yeah, almost 3 years ago. But, you know, we'll visit that on certain occasions when it comes to the question of how we should worship God in Christianity according to the scriptures. But through Jesus Christ is certainly the guarantee of four important things I did not type here. Number one, I have the right doctrine of God.
You have the like doctrine?
Right, yes, right. The right.
Right.
The correct one, the true one. And on the end, we see how important trust is for us. On page 6, what do you see?
Pope's note.
Page number 6, Russ. All that is left blank for you, sir.
Yep.
Okay. I have the correct doctrine of God through Jesus Christ. I have the correct understanding of the love of God in Jesus Christ. Outside Christ, there is no true doctrine of divine love. I have the right understanding of the grace of God only through Jesus Christ. And lastly, and most important, I have the indwelling of God in me through Jesus Christ. And you know, you need to eat the letters of Paul. Eat them. I don't mean eat the book, because it will not taste nice. But eat the letters, you know. It is through Jesus Christ that I have the right access to God. Do you remember the famous sayings of our Lord in the Gospel of John? If we love him, we love the Father, and he and the Father will come and dwell. What will happen? No, they make their house where? In us. You know, the great promise. And you know, that is through Jesus Christ. Take Jesus out of the New Testament, well, I'm sorry, there will be nothing good left. Nothing. Nothing. You cannot talk about grace. You cannot talk about salvation. You cannot talk about the gospel itself, because the gospel is the good news of the coming of the Son of God to redeem us. Take Jesus out of the New Testament. And please, remember, take out the divinity of Jesus. There will be nothing left. Nothing. You are left to is a good man, a prophet, a teacher, who's just like the rest. But I thank God through Jesus Christ. And that's why on point number 4, 5 on page 3, is that Binitarian expression, is that unusual to you?
Yeah.
Between brackets is Father, Son. But you know, it is to the glory of God the Father that we say Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, we are not glorifying God without Jesus. But when we glorify Jesus, the glory goes back to the Father because of the intimate relationship between Father and Son. And here's a text from Philemon again. As for you, Carol, instead of Frida, out loud, like an American lioness, you know?
Okay. Without Christ, I cannot face God the Father. I am naked and under condemnation. But in Jesus and through him alone, I am covered with his glory, that of redemption, sonship, eternal life, and above all, the indwelling of the Father in me, because it is only Jesus who made me the resting place of the Holy Spirit and the living temple of God.
There is something here, you know, I hope you, with your own pen or your lipstick, you know, put a line underneath, you know. Do you know that the resting place and the pleasure of God is to be in us? Not to be in heaven, to be in us. The resting place, the pleasure. There's a good word in the New Testament, we'll come to it later on. God's pleasure in us. It comes at the birth of Jesus, but the English translation makes me angry. When the angel said, glory to be God on high, and on earth, peace. No, not goodwill to men. Sorry. Sorry. My pleasure is in men. My pleasure. If do keen in Greek.
On earth, peace and my pleasure.
My pleasure is in humanity.
Peace and my pleasure is in humanity.
Yes. You see, where do you think after the incarnation, God will rest? Read the whole speech by Stephen in the book of Acts. I'm sure you have read it many times, I'm sure. But did you notice that Stephen talking to the Jews and said, you know, God is not interested in buildings built by stones. He wants you. He's very eager to be in you. My rest is in you. My pleasure. These two words, you know, in the New Testament, complete each other. I have the pleasure to be in you. And we will talk about that later on when we come to Romans 6. God is willing, we'll be alive. You know, God is willing to give us strength, you know, to be alive till we reach Romans 6. But
about four more presidents, I think.
But you see, I am really begging you, under the impact of any bad feeling of your past life, do not deprive yourself of the inner strength in Jesus Christ. Oh yes, I know I am a bad man. Whenever I do anything contrary to what my wife wants me to be, my wife, you met Maeve. You shouldn't do that. I said, May, you know me. I am a sinner. What did you expect from me? And he said to me, that you can do better. I said, oh, the only better in me is Christ, and you have it already. That's such a trick, you know, to avoid embarrassment. But, but you know, it is in the depths of my misery I lift up my eyes to the glory of Jesus. I have no other way to feel good, strong about myself, except when I am attached myself to the glory of Christ. The only thing I have in my life is Christ. Well, I'm glad, you know, before that, it was my job, my reputation in the university, and the things I want to publish, and all this rubbish in the academic arena, now it has gone. If you ask me what is the best thing, I say, my bike, my wife, but above all is Christ Jesus. You know, this is where we have our real strengths. Because, my dear friends, without Christ, I stand in the presence of God as nothing. Now, I want to share with you, my dear friend Stan told me that there is a new program by Microsoft where I can speak the computer and it will type for me. Well, I tried that in Cambridge, it did not work because of my accent. But Stan said, no, it has improved, I wonder. Yeah. I don't want to go and spend any money anymore on programs, you know. I just don't like typing, you know. It's a great trial. But four things of seeing Christ in me as the hope of glory. Four things, you know. Christ in me, not because I manufacture Christ, but because of God's gift to me. It's a gift. And you know, if you accept a gift, what can I say? Use it. If you don't use it, well, it stays, but you don't become aware of its goodness. Right or wrong, if you have something, use it. If I come to visit you, that's just an illustration. I come to pay you a visit. In the Middle East, you know, we put forward the best drinks and the best food. And I have that experience with some of my American friends, you know. They give me the best. Of course, sometimes when a burger appears, you know, it sounds like the best. But for me, it's not the best. I need that big steak, you know. But it is the best available in the house. The best drink, you know, the best food. If I don't take it, I will miss the generosity of my friends. Something will break down in the relationship. If God gave us Christ as his ultimate gift, then I better use it. And so, number two, use it in prayer. Absolutely in prayer. And when I pray to God the Father. I pray through Jesus Christ. And my friends, I also pray the life of Jesus. That's my prayer book. His parables, his teaching, his birth, his baptism, his temptation. Everything that goes into his life. I read just one portion of the scriptures from the Gospels. And that will be my daily prayer. Maybe my weekly prayer. Maybe my yearly prayer. Pray Jesus. When I pray Jesus, then I own that gift. It shines. It breaks all the power of darkness in my life.
No place for me?
No, praise the Lord, you are here. There's one here and there's two here. Come on, young ladies. Thank you, Denise. You're very humble. You have to give her $50 for giving her seat for you. And when I get the $50, I have to have 50% of them. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thank you. You know, when we pray, that gift starts to shine, you know? When you are in trouble about something, suppose someone break into your own house. A thief. Burglar, right? If you start talking to yourself, you do very well. If you are frozen, you may be dead before you reach for your handgun. Prayer is the total awareness of the gift of God. And I need to use the gift that God gave to me, and that is the life of his son. If I neglect it, you know the old English saying, a key that is used will never get rusty. Do you have that in America? No. A key that's always used will never get rusty. Do you know, if I allow myself to think of Christ as something distant, far away from me, an idea in my head, in some of the good, pious books I read every day, but don't link at the depths of his life in prayer, I will not profit anything. It's like a beggar reading the Wall Street prices of shares. You know, what is the use?
It's like a beggar looking at the price of shares on Wall Street.
You know, what, he has not even enough money to buy a can of Coca-Cola. So why are you reading it? If the shares goes up or down, so what? You know, it's nonsense. So all this good reading that we do has to feed in that important link. Pray in Christ. Pray his life. Number three. If I am under siege, you know siege? You don't know that, you know, your country never was under siege. It's a big continent, you know? You know, the sense of the greatness of America doesn't allow you to have that sense, which is good. Hope to stay like that, even getting bigger. An ex-Canada in the next years, you know? Or get Alaska, and if you can get the Soviet Union also, that would be really good. But, but you know, siege, the state of siege, where we are under the power of pain, suffering, depression, and things are besieging us. Of course, the first question is, so where is Jesus? He is with you in the pit. And you know, have you ever been in a dark room or a dark house? Total darkness, you have no matches, and you can hear the voice of your wife or the voice of your husband. You only can hear the voice because it is really, really dark. And then you try to reach each other, reach out for each other. Isn't that how we should do when we are in the pit? I am with you. So the Lord is with you in the pit. You know, the cross is not only for Christ Jesus, it's also for us. Something in us had to be cleansed, you know? I'm intrigued, you know, when I go to some of the pharmacies here, and you see some of the tablets and capsules, you know? Something to cure all your digestive system. Not right? It has to be cleansed, you know, because bad food, bad bacteria, bad whatever. But you know, the cleansing side of the crucifixion is where God kindly pushes us in a pit just about our size. Just enough for you. He does not allow us to suffer more than beyond our endurance. And believe me, I'm talking out of my own experience. And I'm sure in your own experience you have discovered that. So I reach to the crucified Christ. I may have the nails. May have his wounded side. May even hear him crying the 7 words on the cross. Maybe one of these cries will be mine. When I was in trouble in Egypt, my dear old friend Philemon said to me, you have one prayer till that conflict is over. Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. And I looked at him, and he looked at me and said, you are on the cross. George, stay there. There is no glory without a cross. And you know, remember your first job. wasn't a week or two or a month as a trial, getting along with the people. Maybe had a bad boss, you know. Maybe one of your colleagues was conspiring to get you fired. Does this happen to you in daily life? But then it is the time to reach out to the Lord. Reach out. And here, my dear friends, there is no supernatural recipe. No, none. You know, we were talking about the Philip Potter yesterday to a very intimate friend.
Talking about what?
Philip Potter. Philip Potter.
Harry Potter.
Philip Potter. We call him Philip Potter here. You know, these boys who play that game, you know, extra power, you know? Celestial power. You can move your hand and things can happen. And I said to her, you know, the great danger is that it deprives us of being true humans. Because we know, I think, you know, if I'm staring at an egg, expecting to become a hard-boiled egg, it may take a million years and will never become a hard-boiled egg. Because there's no energy in my eyes. There's no energy in my hand. If there is an energy in me, it is from the Holy Spirit. Christ does not want us to move into the supernatural. Christ wants us to be truly humans. And that's why reaching out in time of suffering is a time when I can put my hand in the hand of the bleeding hand of Jesus and say to him, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. One of the immortal words of Philemon, I should have typed that for you. I think you're going to forget it. But write it on the last page. In the last week before he died, he said to me, George, I thank God. I came to the world with nothing. And I never asked God for anything. I am leaving the world with nothing. I'm not going to take anything with me. But you know, throughout my life, God did not do anything great except talking to me. And that was the most precious thing. Talk to the Lord, George, so the Lord may talk back to you. He's the one who received nothing from God except talking. No wealth, no power. No fame. Nothing. And you know, I look back at his life and say, my goodness, my greedy heart desired this and that and this and that. There's something funny. Because I love driving, but I don't like to drive on the meridian. You don't drive cars in America, you drive jets and rockets. And someone told me the best safe car is the hammer. So I said, I pray for the hammer. And I get two hammers. One drawn on nicely on a piece of paper by, what is he?
Nathan.
By Nathan. And one came out of a matchbook by my dear friend. And I have that in my study to remind myself, oh well, this is the car I want to drive. Well, then I have to shrink, you know, to get into it. If I get nothing at all out of this life, and I am on good terms with Christ, I have one eternal life. And that's great. So, let's move into something very delicate.
Number four.
I beg your pardon, sir. It is the hammer, you know? The hammer. I still think I need a hammer. Number four, Christ is in me as the Lord of glory. It's a hope. And the word hope will do it extensively when we come to Paul in later on. But for the time being, you know, hope is the vision of faith. When you were planning to extend the sanctuary here at East 91st, I remember seeing what you call it. We call it in Italian moquette diagram. Plan? Diagram, moquette, what do you call it?
Blueprint.
What? Blueprint. You use that word for buildings also? We use it for machines in England. All right. Blueprint. Thank you. I learned something new tonight. Thank you. I learned every night something new, but thank you for the word. Okay. And you know, you were campaigning to get the money, and I believe you got most of it, if not all of it. Right?
Need another $3 million. You got it.
Anyway, it is always those who have the blueprint, they possess something that urges them to continue the campaign, and that is hope. And you know, there is another word in the New Testament attached to hope. But I think we are frightened to come near it, called perseverance. Perseverance and hope are the two feet that you must use to walk with the Lord daily. Persevere. We'll talk about perseverance later on. I know you're staring at me and saying, when? Well, I don't know. But you see, my dear friends, you know, it is in perseverance that I will certainly give myself a chance to look at what faith means. Where the direction of my life will go, that is hope. I'm moving in that direction. Even if the night is bleak and dark, I'm still moving on, persevering. Now, what does perseverance do to hope? Two important things. When we persevere, we become more clean. We realize, you know, that if we attach it to ourselves, things are utterly unnecessary. Have you ever been on a boat and you fell in the water? I did that wearing a suit in the Nile. And I tell you, I had to take off my shoes and my suit, either this or I will drown. Became too heavy. When all the water gets into I was dressed fully, of course, stupid, to get into a boat wearing a suit. Absolutely. You know, to reach the boat was almost like a year journey, taking off everything, going up and down, you know, in the water. The Lord saved my life. I'm telling you, I'm not a good swimmer. The Lord saved my life. And in that minute, I understood the meaning of perseverance, that we have to be cleansed, to leave unnecessary things, get rid of them, things that tangle you and stop you from loving the Lord from all your heart. You must give them up. And the other side of perseverance is not only cleansing. One of the things I love about Americans is that you have firearms in your house.
We have what?
Firearms, yes, guns, you know.
Oh,
firearms. Yes, firearms, yes. Rifles, you know, guns. Right? Some of you do. Do you remember the first day you fired your rifle? You do? It must have been hard, isn't it? And instead of aiming at whatever, you shot your neighbor, maybe. Or instead of aiming at a tree, you aimed at your car. But you know, when you persevere in practice, you know how to use a rifle. And that's why, in the Christian tradition of prayer, they say, the more you persevere, the more the vision will become clear. It rhymes in English. The more you persevere, the more the vision will become clear. You know, practice. And when we persevere, then we are doing the best. My dear friends, I want to stop because we are running out of time. But my dear brothers and sisters, you know, I put so much Philemon in this handout. Because I remember how many people were delighted in Philemon last year. And I said, you know, give up all the commentaries. Let us do something from a man who really knew Christ personally. Yes.
Thanks to Brother John Luger, who 2 years ago gave these to me, and I just found them last week. These are pictures of Philemon that I've got one in my Bible just for grins. But there's these two. There's stacks of them over there, and you know, take one if you want to stick in your Bible. If you run out, then you know, we'll talk to John, see if his printer still got paper in it or whatever. But I promise not to lose him this time. But those are Philemon.
Thank you. What does mean to witness? Do you know that Christ is going to witness to you in the presence of God the Father? Whoever will confess me, I will confess him. Because to witness, to confess, two words complete each other in the Bible. My dear friends, the Bible must be studied in a thematic way to collect round every theme the words that are related to the theme. You cannot do it by one word, one verse. That is the way you misunderstand the scriptures. But you know, isn't that great that your name is mentioned on the lips of Jesus in heaven? I confess him. I call my sheep by name. In Isaiah, that was a favorite text, Martin Luther. Your names are engraved on my palm. Yes. And Luther added to it, my name has been engraved on his palm by a pen made of iron. And he meant the nail of the cross. You know, this is a great courage. It is terrible to feel alone in this life. But my witness is God. Very solemn in Judaism. But God also witnessed to me by saying, come to me, all you laden, right? And again, you know, and again, come to me, you blessed of my Father, because I have the pleasure to give you the kingdom. And you know, this is where the joy should flow in our hearts. That's why Paul later on says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation. Truly. Or Christ will tell me, I am your witness. I am your high priest. I am your mediator. I am your sacrifice. I am your hope. I am your strength. I am your eternal life. I am the one who brings you fully to the presence of the Father without being condemned. Come, because I witness to the Father on your behalf. Well, in Hebrews and in Revelation, Jesus is the apostle and the high priest of our confession. He also will confess our names on the last day of judgment. That is from Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. Let us end with Philemon. Who read Philemon? What about you, young lady?
Sure.
On page 5.
Jesus, my Lord, confessed that he is the Christ and the Son of God. This means that you and I must know that we have no other identity except our faith in Jesus, our Lord. We are what we are because of him. Some people ask me, who are you? I say, I am a Christian. Then they say, have you got a name? I say, yes. Here they call me Philemon. But I am waiting to hear the Lord say to me, come to me, you blessed of my Father. I am his slave because Jesus bought me with his blood. Therefore, I ask him to die first and not to sin. So, my dear brother, the day you prefer to die and not to sin is the day you can say to the Lord, thank you for your grace that made my love mature.
Well, you know, 1974, I confess to you and to God Almighty, when Philemon said to me, the day you feel that you prefer to die rather than to sin, well, this is, believe me, is a knife in my ribs. Because sometimes I sin. I am a sinner. And when I sin, I regret it. Because I should prefer to die rather than to sin. Isn't that what Paul says? We are dead to sin. But sometimes we sin. But when I sin, I say, Christ is my witness. Christ is my intercessor. Christ is all I have. I love that statement in the marriage service, which goes back to the Roman Church. It's used in the Church of England.
In the marriage service?
Yes. Episcopalian Church, Church of England. Maybe a new church too. For good, for worse, for health, for sickness. What's the rest? Till death. You see? For richer, for poorer. Thank you for reminding me. That's very important. For richer, for poorer, you know, till death. And you know, my dear friends, if human beings can bring themselves to take that resolution, what about Jesus? I am with you. I give my life to you. And I will not hesitate to give my life to you whenever you need that. Christ is my witness in heaven. And therefore, I better be his witness here on earth. Because when I witness to Christ here on earth, I gain his strength, his joy, his peace. I think we better stop here at this note and pray that the Lord will give us strength, will give us the joy of seeing grass with us next week, and will give us also the thanksgiving of seeing all your beautiful eyes. I'm sorry, eyes in the human face, it's not only just your eyes. You know, eyes are the most beautiful things to see. They're called the windows of the soul in the Talmud. And when I see these windows open, I can see what's inside. So don't worry. You know, thank you for your beauty. Thank you for your coming. Thank you for your zeal. Thank you for your perseverance of coping with my horrible accent. Let's pray. Lord our God, we pray that your Spirit may flood our hearts. Lord our God, we pray that all our needs that we have presented to you in Jesus Christ our Lord may receive the seal of the Amen from you, because you alone are what we have, and there's nothing else that we can say that we have. Lord Jesus Christ, be with us. Give us strength to those who are under chemotherapy, all of them, known or unknown. They are all known to you. You call them by names. You call them because they are your beloved ones. We cannot love as you love. We try. But give us strength to persevere. We pray, Lord, that you grant us to be together, not only here in this life, but in the banquet in heaven. We request a special prayer for our dear brother Russ, and for this church that opened its doors for me and for other people to be a light to this nation. Thank you, Lord. too many things to remember. Give us the strength and the courage of your cross and your resurrection. To you, Father and Holy Spirit, be glory forever and ever. Amen.
There are previous weeks, last week's lessons over here in the folders. I'm out of week three left, but we'll have more each week, hopefully.